So I was asked by Ananta Prabhu to speak on the holy name, which is the topic for the weekend, or actually it's the only topic. And the process of pure devotional service, we come to the essence, and the essence is the foundation for everything. And so the chanting of the holy name is our life and soul. It gives life, it is life. Otherwise, we're lifeless. So I'm not going to be using that verse on the board. I'll be using a verse you all are very much aware of. I can find it. As you get old, you get blind too. Can't see anything. When, you know, we hear about birth, death, disease, and old age, you think, yeah, okay. We heard about them, they're the miseries. When you think old age, yeah, old people, okay. Boy, when you get there, you just realize it doesn't function like it used to. I know the verse is somewhere in this chapter, so I just have to find it. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is from Krishna Das Kavi Raj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Panchalila, chapter 20, verse number 21. Srinadapi sunichena tayor iva suhishnuna amanina amanadena Kirtaniya Sadarhahi Trinadapi Sunichena Tayor Iva Suhishnuna Amaninam Manadena Kirtaniya Sadarhahi. Chant. I'm sure you all know that, right? Tanada Pisuni Chena Nayora Vasa Vishnu Amana Mana Medina. Vishnuna Ladies Tanara Pisuni Chena Manina Manina Manadena Kir Chaitanya Sadarahi. Prabhupada's, go ahead, I'm sorry. Tamarapi Samichena. Amanoi Vasahishnuna. Amanina Mamanadena. Kirtaniya Sadarahi. Anyone else? Chunarapi. Than downtrodden grass. Than downtrodden grass. That's what it says. Downtrodden means way down. Sunichena. Being lower. Tayor. Than a tree. Eva, like, Suhishnuna, with tolerance, Amanina, without being puffed up by false pride, Manadena, given respects to all, Kirtaniya, to be chanted, Sada, always, Harihi, the holy name of the Lord. So this verse was written down and then quite often spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than the tree, who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respects to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Verse number 22. These are the symptoms of one who chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Although he is very exalted, he thinks himself lower than the grass on the ground. And like a tree, he tolerates everything in two ways. Verse 23. When a tree is cut down, it does not protest. And even when drying up, it does not ask for water. Text 24. The tree delivers its fruits, flowers, and whatever else it possesses to anyone and everyone. It tolerates scorching heat and torrents of rain, yet it still gives shelter to others. Text 25. Although a Vaishnava is the most exalted person, he is prideless and gives all respects to everyone, knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. If one chants the holy name of Lord Krishna in this manner, he will certainly awaken his dormant love for Krishna's lotus feet. Text 27. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke in this way, his humility increased, and he began praying to Krishna that he could discharge pure devotional service. Text 28, whenever there is a relationship of love of God, it's natural symptom that the devotee does not think himself a devotee. Instead, he always thinks that he has not even a drop of love for Krishna. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati comment begins the purport. It's a very long purport. I'll just read a few lines. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that persons who are actually very poor because they possess not even a drop of love of Godhead or pure devotional service falsely advertise themselves as great devotees, although they cannot at any time relish the transcendental bliss of devotional service. A class of so-called devotees known as Prakrita Sahajiyas sometimes display devotional symptoms to exhibit their good fortune. They are pretending, however, because these devotional features are only external. The Prakriti Sahajas exhibit these symptoms to advertise their so-called advancement and love of Krishna. But instead of praising the Prakriti Sahajas for their symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, pure devotees do not like to associate with them. It is not advisable to equate the Prakriti Sahajas with pure devotees. When one is actually advanced in ecstatic love for Krishna, he does not try to advertise himself. Instead, he endeavors more and more to render service to the Lord. And so the purport goes on. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stavditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swam Padantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Go. Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. Let's try it again. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Lord Chaitanya, I'm actually Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, says in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that in order to chant the holy names of the Lord, one must be decorated with a certain external feature. And that feature is this verse. He makes the analogy that one may be, one that the holy name is like a beautiful necklace of beautiful pearls strung onto the neck of the chanter. But then one should attach a nice gold brooch, maybe right in the middle of the necklace, to make that ornament even more outstanding. Or even give that ornament its actual real feature of beauty. And what is that in this verse? That one has to practice these qualities in order to approach Krishna. It's not so easy to approach Krishna. When we actually think about it, I mean, God is great. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, Krishna, there he is in the deity. And, you know, we speak about Krishna sometimes very casually. We use the word in just conversation. Yeah, Krishna's mercy. Krishna said this, or Krishna, you know, didn't want me to do this. But actually, when we think about it, who is this Krishna? Everything in existence is either him or his energy. There's nothing outside of him. He is so great that the word great actually falls short of defining him. And as we try to describe greatness in various ways to illustrate his qualities, characteristics, it's just like a dwarf trying to catch the moon. And he's trying to catch the moon in a magnifying glass that he's looking at the reflection. And he thinks, well, maybe I got it. So the greatness of Krishna is never understood, even by great souls, what to speak of those of us who are just, you know, struggling along to practice Krishna consciousness in our day-to-day life. So, but therefore, in order to approach the great person, one has to have certain characteristics or qualities that they're cultivating. The one can always approach Krishna as long as one is cultivating something that is what we say desirable. The attainment may have not reached perfection yet, but one has to cultivate that mood which is the perfectional stage of expression of devotion. And therefore, this verse is fundamental as the foundation for everything we do in devotional service. It is the success of devotional service. We might put it that way. To succinctly describe in a very, what we say, complete way, this verse is everything. And Lord Chaitanya gave it such, what we say, focus that he mentioned it and he also exhibited it. He says here, he's even chanting it here in ecstasy, and as he chants it, his humility becomes greater and greater. And we can speak about the humility of God. It's what Well, God is great in all qualities, and so his humility is the greatest of all forms of humility. So when he exhibits humility, and you know, you should know that's the best of all expressions of that quality. So, and I was thinking here, and we're trying to chant the holy names of the Lord, but here's the mood. Sometimes we think, or we mistakenly think that this applies just to japa. Just this apply. And it actually, that's not a wrong way of thinking. But anytime we approach the holy name, this is the mood. And whether it's kirtan or japa or any forms of glorification of the holy name, one cultivates the idea that simply by the mercy of the Lord, I'm getting the opportunity to glorify the Lord. And the expression of that mercy, that glorification, is also the mercy of the Lord. So one realizes that they become a receptacle for God's mercy. And that's what humility really means. Really, humility is not something like, well, I have to press myself down and make myself feel very useless in order to understand how to practice humility. We look at great souls and how much they've done to spread Krishna consciousness around the world, how many people they've influenced in the way they've conducted their lives. But yet, one of their main ornaments is they're humble. Why? Because they always depend on the Lord. That's the foundation for the principle of humility. It comes by knowing that God is great and I am nothing. And his greatness is available in everything I do in various ways, is simply if I just depend on him. And depending on him means to remember him. Depending on him means to pray to him. Depending on him means to remember that we can't do anything outside of him. And whatever we may accomplish, separate from the mercy of the Lord, in the sense that we don't depend on the Lord or we depend on our own, is simply something that does not stand the force of time. It comes and it goes. It may also look good for a while. But anything done in devotional service that is foundational on these principles is eternal. That act remains within the heart of the devotee and the Lord eternally. It's not something that comes and goes like everything material. So this the principle, which is the foundation for practicing Krishna consciousness. We say the holy name is very merciful. And all we have to do is chant the holy name. But Srila Prabhupada, when you carefully hear and understand his instructions, he gives a lot of considerations, or what we say prerequisites, for the practice of chanting the holy names. We always say, just chant, that's all. And it's like that. You can just chant, and you'll always get some benefit. But to enter into the mercy of the holy name, what the holy name is really about, it requires these qualities or characteristics. And that is four. These are four main ones. One has to see themselves as insignificant. The more success you have in anything you do, whether materially or spiritually, the tendency for pride to come. I'm giving this class because of myself. That's why I chose the verse. Because I have these problems. So I thought, all right, I need to do a little bit of self-analysis. So I chose this particular verse. I was going through a whole bunch of verses this morning thinking, what verse should I give? And I found some really powerful verses with purports with the Srimad Bhagavatam on the holy name. And every time I thought of it, there was no click. And then I thought, maybe I should chant and talk about this verse. And then all of a sudden, I felt like, yeah, this is it. Some lights went off and some good vibrations were starting to come. And then I realized Krishna wanted me to speak on this verse. At least I felt them. This is what he wanted. And then I was understanding, it's so important because we are always eager to get the mercy of the Holy Name. But here's how that mercy becomes manifested, like that. To broach the Holy Name with the idea that I am nothing and Krishna is everything. And when we chant the holy names of the Lord, we should realize we just have to beg for the mercy of the Holy Name. The Holy Name is, as I mentioned earlier, Krishna is so great, and Krishna's name is Krishna, right? Nama Chintamani Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purnya Sudya Nitya Mukta Abhinna. Binna means different, and abhinna means non-different. Krishna's name is Krishna. I mean, think about that. That is powerful. And that name becomes available to each and every one of us through the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming through his pure devotees. We have a chance to associate with Krishna directly. But it's not so easy to associate with Krishna. Although the process of association is available, the means to attain that association is these principles here. That sometimes, and we mentioned this earlier, people think, oh, yeah, I'm low, I'm useless, I can't do anything. Jai Sisi Panchatattva Gija. And we somehow give a wrong definition or a mistaken definition of what humility is. Prabhupada said humility means with the mercy of the Lord I can do anything. And without the mercy of the Lord I can't do anything. And with the mercy of the Lord I have value in life. And without the mercy of the Lord, what is the value of my life? Bilvamanga Thakur prays, he prays, my dear Lord, with your mercy, what is the use of another person's mercy? And my dear Lord, without your mercy, what is the use of another person's mercy? He only wants the Lord's mercy of the Lord. The example is the Chitaka bird. It's a nice example. Where there's one bird that he flies close to the clouds and he waits for the cloud to release the water. And when the cloud releases the water, he drinks. But if the cloud gives lightning bolts and thunder instead, the bird tolerates it, still waiting for the water. Now, there may be water on the ground in various lakes and rivers and ponds, but the bird won't go there. Because he always wants the water directly from the cloud. That bird is mentioned throughout the Shastras, especially in relationship to Krishna's Leelas. And so a devotee wants Krishna's mercy only, and begs for Krishna's mercy. And chanting of the holy name is an expression of begging for that mercy. But the mood of that chanting is actually the success of that receiving that mercy. And my dear Lord, I want to glorify you. I want to associate with you by chanting your holy name. But what is my qualification? I think Sachi Nandana Maharaj makes a nice statement. He says, the door to the spiritual world has a handle only on the inside. Yeah. In other words, you have to be let in. When you become qualified, then you be let in. You can't somehow or other do something to make your own efforts to achieve success. the effort. Someone was asking me last night in this one program. I think it was you. Yeah, you were asking about, I can't remember your question, but I remember my answer. And the answer was, God helps those who help themselves. You remember that? Yeah. So yeah, we have to make that effort, but it's only by the Lord's mercy that the success of that effort becomes manifest. So therefore, a devotee practices these qualities. Humility, tolerance. Oh, tolerance, what amazing quality that is. One who is tolerant, Prabhupada says, and he makes this nice statement, he says, a greatness of a person is understood by how much they are able to tolerate difficult circumstances. That's almost a paraphrase. The greatness of a person is understood by how much they are able to tolerate in difficult circumstances, something like that. I can't remember the last word, but that's the essence of it. So tolerance actually makes a person great. We have to tolerate so many things. I'm sure you're tolerating this class right now. That's one of the forms of tolerance. But we have to tolerate each other. We have to tolerate the weather. We have to tolerate our own minds and bodies. We have to tolerate just the onslaught of the material energy as it comes naturally, just by its own workings. And we have to tolerate reverses in life. We also have to tolerate good things, too. Yeah, that's another form of tolerance. When something is nice, but it's not good for you, you like it, but you at the same time you realize it's not going to benefit my spiritual life, that's another form of tolerance. And that is a harder tolerance than the... Because there's something we don't like, we get a reversion or aversion for that. But something we get like, we may get attraction for that. But that attraction may not be good. So that's another form of tolerance, which is, I think the Shastras say that's even more difficult. So yeah, therefore, Prabhupada, or actually Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, goes on to explain, yeah, that a tree gets cut down and does not protest, and even when it dries up, it doesn't ask for water. We might say, wow, these are just, you know, like hyperboles. These are just eulogies. What about me? I can't come anywhere close to that. If I don't get my prasadam, I complain. If my wife said something I don't like, I just think I'm going to walk out of the house. And vice versa. So, you know, we can see ourselves in a day-to-day life with a little introspection and how sometimes even little things disturb us. But therefore, it's still not a disqualification for chanting the holy name. In other words, this is a cultivation. And this is the goal. One should see how to practice these qualities. Respect for others and no respect for yourself. I can give respect for others. That's not so hard. Krishna's in the heart of all living entities. Some people are not respectable, but still I can give some. I can be polite like that. But no respect for me? Hadi bo. Maybe they, and we have to rewrite this verse here. This is a mistake. Hare Krishna. No respect for me. Lord Chaitanya says both. Yeah. I give respect, and therefore I should get respect. When the respect comes, one should not be, what we say, enamored by it. And when it doesn't come, one should not feel deprived because of it. In other words, if it comes, that's fine. If it doesn't come, it's just as fine. One doesn't expect respect. But at the same time, one gives respect because it's mentioned here that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Therefore, when we respect another person, we're actually respecting Krishna in the heart of that person. So how does that respect manifest? In different ways, according to the relationship with people in general. Maybe Prabhupada would be on the morning walk sometimes, and he would say, "Good morning, sir." You could hear that, right? You've heard that before. Prabhupada, "Good morning, sir." He'd be in America, you know, in Los Angeles, walking on a morning walk, and pass by some passerby with his dog. "Good morning, sir." "Good morning." He would respond like, you can even hear the response sometimes. So Prabhupada, you know, he saw all living entities as part and parcel of Krishna. That was his pure spiritual vision. So we may not see like that, but we should know that that is the truth, that Krishna is in the heart. And therefore, everyone is respectable because they are part and parcel of Krishna. And to disrespect or to cause what we say unnecessary difficulties for others is a form of disrespect. And therefore, that goes to Krishna also. That goes to Krishna also, who's situated in the heart of all living entities. So, but in general, there is an etiquette for respect. Friendliness, the mood of service, the mood of preaching, and just being what we say, as Prabhupada said, how, when someone asked him, "How do you understand a Vaishnava?" Prabhupada said, "He's a perfect gentleman or a gentle lady." In other words, one who acts properly towards giving regards to others like that. So these are some of the characteristics that make up what we say the chanting of the holy name. Prabhupada said, if you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're not following the principles of devotional service, he said that's like cooking with smoke. So how much can you cook with smoke? And Prabhupada says, and he ends the statement, it'll take 300 years to cook breakfast. So in other words, the reason I'm saying this is because some people think, yeah, the holy name, we got it, this is it, this is all we need. Yeah, that's true. But the holy name is the process. It's the essence of the process, it's the process. But within the process, there are characteristics and qualities that are expressions of the chanting of the holy name that is foundational for our success in chanting. And especially this verse. Especially this verse. So it's a matter of practice, that's all. One has to practice these qualities. Humility. Sometimes we used to say that unless you're put into a situation where you're forced to become humble by that situation, humility will never take root fully within your soul. In other words, you need to be tested. You can't just philosophically say, well, I'm going to be humble and this is how I become humble. No, that's nice. But when you're actually tested, then you actually see or actually learn that here's an opportunity to practice humility. Here's an opportunity. So therefore, devotees welcome these situations in life because it gives them the chance to increase the quality of the holy name. I mean, if you go to India, I mean, tolerance is if you want to learn tolerance, go to India. Is that okay? Does that make sense? Yeah, it's like, ooh, okay, especially Indian trains. Crowded, and everybody's got their mobile phones going on all at the same time, and everybody's talking at the same time. And, you know, it's just like noise personified. So, yeah, so it's good to take a pilgrimage to India to help us develop tolerance, to help us to get a chance to practice these qualities. Of course, it comes day-to-day life. I mean, just day-to-day life, there's everything about life, practically, it has an element of tolerance in it. But these things are good in the sense that they teach us to take shelter of Krishna. They teach us to take shelter of the holy name. They remind us of our position in this material world. And they remind us our dependence on the mercy of the Lord. And what is the result when we practice this? Kirtaniya Sada. Sada means always. One can always chant the holy names of the Lord. So we practice to chant the holy names of the Lord as much as possible through kirtan and through our own japa. But the manifestation of that quality takes root within the soul when we cultivate those qualities that are conducive to the chanting of the holy names like that. To be enthusiastic is also, to be humble is also to be enthusiastic. Sometimes we see these qualities as separate from each other. Humility, tolerance, pridelessness, respect for others, enthusiasm, dira, equipoise, and happiness. But all the qualities are interrelated with each other. As we practice one, we also get elements of the others like that. Through humility, we also learn tolerance. Through giving respect to others, we also learn humility. Through being unaffected by happiness and distress, we also learn tolerance. So as we cultivate the qualities in relationship to the holy name, and as we are enthusiastic, because enthusiasm is the fire that lights all the other qualities. We always say humility is the foundation for what we say everything. But unless we're enthusiastic to practice the process of devotional service and to participate in an enthusiastic way. What does enthusiasm mean? Rupa Goswami gives the definition. He says, to use your intelligence to become Krishna conscious in every situation. How do I become Krishna conscious in this situation? What is the intelligence needed? Just like to use this example right now. What is the intelligence right now to become Krishna conscious what we're doing? For you, it's just simply hearing, that's all. The more you hear, the more you access your intelligence for the process of hearing, the more you're actually enthusiastic in that act of hearing or that act of devotional service. And so that's an example of how enthusiasm manifests in certain, what we say, devotional. When we're singing and chanting the holy names of the Lord, we hear in kirtan, especially Madhava Prabhu, he says, chant with your heart, chant loudly, try to hear. And of course, many of us are practicing that, and others are also preaching that. But that's what it means, to keep the mind focused on the holy name and to chant with enthusiasm. Because the more enthusiastic you are in the process of chanting, the more you're actually preaching. Because you're actually saying to others, this is good. And when you're not enthusiastic, and although you're in the atmosphere of something that's enthusiastic, you're sending a message to everyone. Yeah, all right, you guys are enthusiastic, but not me. You're not saying that, but that's how you're expressing your expressions like that. So that enthusiasm may be exhibited differently because we each have different personalities and characters. But still, one should access the mood of participating as best they can in the chanting of the holy name, with enthusiasm, with attention. That's why we call it Sankirtan Yajna. Yajna means something that is difficult. It's difficult. Why? Because in the beginning, it might be nice, but keep doing it. And then the mind gets restless. The mind wants to go here, everywhere. Oh yeah, there's that person out there. I want to talk to them. Ah, I should go out there and talk. Need a break. Well, of course, that's nothing wrong with that. But the idea is, the more we can stay in the fire of the kirtan and remain and access the mood of enthusiasm, the more we're actually adding to the overall ambience of the whole atmosphere. I was remembering some lectures by certain godbrothers of mine that they were saying, you know, when we're all together, either dancing or singing or responding to the singing, which is singing also, then the whole energy starts to build in a very collective way. And it becomes less and less an effort on your own part to experience the power of the Krishna's holy name. But when some of us are talking or doing something else or not paying attention, that same energy is being affected by that other negativity. I think you've had experience with that. We know when you lead kirtan, you know that. You can sense it. And then that energy is being reduced by the same, by others who are in the same area, but their consciousness is somewhere else or their activities are somewhere else. I'm saying this to help us build this, because the holy name is powerful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the planet in 1534. 50 years after that, Narottam Das Thakur performed the first, he was the leading acharya performing the first Gaur Purnima festival. It was at Khetri Gram, which was his home. In that particular festival, devotees had come from everywhere. They came from Navadvip, they came from Jagannath Puri, they came from Vrindavan, just to be there to celebrate Lord Chaitanya's, what we say, Gaur Purnima. It was a grand celebration. Narottam Das Thakur was he wasn't the most exalted person there. The most exalted person there was Janava Devi, the wife of Lord Nityananda. She was the presiding deity, or the presiding acharya over that whole thing. And all the other devotees came. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Ramachandra Kaviraj, three inseparable Vaishnavas. And Narottam Das Thakur, on the first day, there were six deities that they installed, six sets of deities for the installation, and Narottam was asked to lead the kirtan. And so he has a pair of kartals. He's leading the kirtan. There's seven Radangars and 14 other kartal players. There's a lot of devotees. I don't know how many, but some say thousands. And so he's chanting very carefully, softly, sweetly, with complete attention and with complete love of God. Gradually, the kirtan is building. At a certain point, the mridangas come in, and then the kartals chime in also. And then the kirtan is building very melodiously, and everyone is in sync with the leader. And gradually it's becoming stronger and stronger and more enthusiastic. The devotees are singing louder and louder. The kirtan starts to reach a crescendo that becomes tumultuous. Everybody is feeling a tremendous transcendental happiness. All of a sudden, out of the blue, I guess you could say, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the entire Panchatattva, along with many of the associates that had also disappeared with Lord Chaitanya, appeared in the kirtan. Personally, it wasn't a vision. Everyone saw them. And they started to dance to Narottam Das Thakur's beautiful kirtan. When the devotees saw that, they went mad. It's described in Narottam Vilas in the, I can't remember the author, Narottam Vilas. Anyway, he's describing it that the devotees were crying and rolling on the ground, and there was so much happiness. And Narottam Das Thakur is focused. He's just absorbed in the holy name. And it is mad. And it was going on, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, and Lord Nityananda was there, and Advaita's son, Achyutananda, saw his father again. Janava saw her husband, Lord Nityananda. Mukunda came back, and his son, Raghunandan Thakur, saw his father again. Naharidas Thakur came back. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, all the great souls that had disappeared, Narahari Sakar. It was a mad kirtan. And rolling on the ground, crying. And Narottam Das Thakur is just absorbed. The description in Narottam Vilas is page after page of the ecstasy. And this went on and on. And the kirtan was going higher and higher. It was just... practically, people were about to die out of love of God. I mean, when you get to that point, you know it's you reach the limit. And then once you die, it gets even better. It just keeps going. And this, we don't understand the power of Krishna's holy name. Nobody can understand. It's Krishna himself. All the power of Krishna is in that name. How much are we tasting it? We get a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. And then that's enough to keep us in ecstasy. So when we all work conjointly in kirtan and absorb ourselves, then that holy name opens it itself up. Because one of the things that pleases Krishna so much and when he sees devotees working together. When we're dancing together, when we're singing together, when we're serving together, the cooperation and the mood of service and glorification together really pleases the Lord. And then his mercy starts to open up even more and more. He likes to see devotees working together. And so this kirtan, I mean, at one point, it reached such a height that everybody was, there was practically very few people left who had any consciousness. They were just on the ground. And then, at one point, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the entire Pachatattva, and all the associates, as easy and as fast as they came, disappeared in the same way. And then everyone felt like we just died. They had felt so much ecstasy and happiness upon seeing the Lord. Now it was like, you know, there's no use to life anymore. So this was Narottam Das Thakur's kirtan, along with all these great souls. You can read about this in, Narottam Vilas. It's a beautiful book. And I think it's published in one or two different versions. The version I read was given to me by one great soul from here. Adarya Chandrika. She has this copy. It's a beautiful expression. Maybe she'll let you borrow it and read it. It's amazing. I couldn't stop reading the book. Narottam Vilas, but it's being put together by my god sister Sitala, the wife of Harisari Prabhu. Sitala, she's writing this. It may come out in book form very soon. I don't really know the progress, but she had an advanced copy. So. But the holy name is our life. It's our soul. It's our existence. Without the holy name, there's no value to the practice of devotional service. It's the foundation of devotional service. It is devotional service. But Krishna, Lord Chaitanya says, these are the things that are necessary in order to get the mercy of the Holy Name. One has to see themselves as being totally insignificant. But at the same time, enthusiastic. Sometimes we have to see how to balance enthusiasm with patience. We think, oh, I can be enthusiastic, but then I'm looking for some results from my enthusiasm. Or I can be patient, but then I lose my enthusiasm. How to balance these two things? And by taking, what we say, pleasure in the process of devotional service and not looking for anything outside of the service itself, one can remain patient. And enthusiasm is a feature of life. Whatever you do, your success on accomplishing whatever you do requires enthusiasm. If you have no enthusiasm, you can't do anything. And the Shastra says, enthusiasm is such a powerful quality, it destroys anarthas just by itself. Yeah, the word is enthusiasm crushes anarthas. That's how powerful. In other words, one doesn't have to separately try to destroy an anartha. Then the enthusiasm for devotional service is itself the destroyer of anarthas. And enthusiasm is the life of bhakti. Okay, so I don't want to take too much time. Any questions or comments? Yes. I forgot your name. Sabina. Hare Krishna. It means going, not looking for, when Krishna doesn't supply his mercy, then we go to the material realm and looking for some support there. In other words, I'll give you an example. We want to associate with devotees, but we think, oh, it's too difficult. Let me just associate with the non-devotees. It might be easier. In other words, to replace the spiritual principles with some kind of material support like that. I'm hungry. There's nothing to eat. Where's the prasadam? Well, I'll just go eat some boga. In other words, we're replacing the essence with the reflection of the essence. Something material like that. Does that answer your first question? Well, maybe you can't tell that to the Chaitanya bird. He won't go for that. He only wants the essence. He wants the mercy directly from the mercy giver. Or coming through, we might say, the rain is coming through the cloud. The cloud may be like the spiritual master. The rain is the actual mercy. The cloud doesn't supply the rain. The cloud takes the rain from the ocean and brings it and forms the cloud, and then it gives it back. Is that all right? Okay, thank you. Yes, Mataji. Let me see, I'll check the word for you. Manadena, giving respects to others. Yeah, with Amanina, without being puffed up by false pride. That's what it says. Real pride is I'm a servant of Krishna. I'm a servant of the devotees. Servant. Well, we're proud that we somehow or other got the mercy. It's not pride in the wrong sense. It's that. It's almost like a form of gratefulness as opposed to a form of pride. If you're happy because of something that's wonderful, it may look like something, maybe also may look like pride. But at the same time, it's not, because it's actually the essence of your existence. I get the children. Prabhupada talks about this in the sense that, yeah, when he answers this question, I'm proud that I'm a devotee of, I'm a servant of Krishna. Now, it's not like, who are we? We're servants of Krishna. So if we get a chance to serve Krishna, that's a sense of gratefulness. It's a sense of self-esteem. I got a chance to be who I am. It's not foreign from your nature. When something is foreign from your nature and you adopt that as you, that's false. That's false. But to be a servant is you. And when you're proud that I can actually exhibit my existence by serving, and by serving the devotees, by serving the spiritual master, by serving Krishna, there's a sense of what we say, pride, but it's not false. It's natural. Prabhupada used that also in the definition of ego. That false ego is everything but Jivaya Sarupai Krishna and Nityadas. The real ego is I am, my only identity is I am servant. Gopir Bhattir Bhattir Kamalayar, Dasa Dasa Nanu Das, servant of the servant of the servant. But servant is the essence. Does that help? I think it's a little hard to explain that, because pride looks like something that is bad from all angles, doesn't it? Or it looks like something negative. If you're proud of something you do as a servant, then that's false, because the ability and the mercy that is needed to carry out is coming from outside. So that's a sense of false pride. But if you're proud to have the opportunity to serve, that's natural. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sabina?
I just wanted to add, as you said, the pride of our true identity as servants of Krishna is gratefulness. I find it interesting that in French, the word for gratitude is merci, like mercy.
Yeah, thankfulness, gratefulness, yeah, mercy. Yeah, language has its way. It's especially Sanskrit. Thank you, that's a nice point. Merci. Merci beaucoup. That's the only two words I know in French. Anything else? Okay, so it's time for other things. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Shri Panchatattva ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki, Sankirtan Yajna Ki Gaur Premanande Hari 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 Bol. I forgot to ask you the test questions. Does anybody want to stay for this? Okay. I'm sorry, I had forgotten. That's called bad memory. Okay, so I have a few questions. If you're still with me, you need a pencil and paper. Okay. There's about 6 or 7 questions. And some of you are looking like, my God, Maharaj, what are you doing to me? If you want, you can participate. Since I said it at the beginning, I'll go through with it. Okay, first question is, you ready? You have to write it down. Write it on your phone, write it on a piece of paper, get some pencil and paper. First question is, how many rounds do you chant of Hare Krishna every day? How many rounds of japa do you chant every day? These questions are quite easy. How many rounds of japa do you chant every day? Okay, second question, all right. Do you chant with the other devotees or do you chant alone? Other devotees means at least one other person. How many rounds of japa do you complete before you take breakfast? How many sessions does it take for you, how many times to sit down, does it take for you to complete your prescribed number of rounds? Do you finish it in one sitting, 2 sittings, 3, 4? In other words, how long is it, and how many different segments does it take to chant your prescribed rounds? This is just a little evaluation test, just to see where we are. Do you chant on beads or do you chant on a clicker? Or do you chant with neither of these? And at the end, I'm going to ask one person to volunteer their answers. The rest you can just keep it to yourself if you like. I'm trying to remember all the questions. There's 7 questions. Do you always, every day, finish your rounds that day? Or do you leave rounds to the next day? The punchline question is at the end. I'm saving that one for last. Okay. Here it is. Why do you chant the holy name? And if you want, you can list a number of reasons in order of importance to you. Why do you chant? There's one more question, but I can't remember. Oh, okay. And this one you might have to take a little time to think. How many minutes does it take for you to chant one round of japa? Take some time and think of this one. Are you Haridas Thakur and you can chant it in 5 minutes? Or are you something else? Jayapataka Maharaj did this little exercise. That's where I got it from. And then he gave some answers to the questions, which were somewhat, what we say. And also Lokanath Maharaj did it also. To help us to kind of like do a little evaluation of our japa. Okay, so there's, how many questions was that? 6? 8. Oh. 7 plus 1. All right, so these are the questions. Look at them. We can take one volunteer from the men's side and one volunteer from the ladies' side to maybe give a little. It's all volunteer, of course. Anybody from the men's side want to volunteer their answers? Okay. You didn't write them down, did you? Did you write them down? Do you remember all the questions? Okay. Okay. Nice and loud. Two separate sessions, you finish your rounds. I'm going to give evaluation after when everything's done. Sometimes alone and sometimes in front of Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes more? Around 20. But not fixed. 16 is fixed. Okay. Never next day. Always finish it in that day. How many rounds before breakfast? Between 10 and 12. Okay. Okay. I want to comment on this. I make it a point to try to do 16 before breakfast, but I usually don't take breakfast until I finish 12. I consider that my minimum. That's my standard anyway. And 2 sessions. What was some of the? How many minutes does it take for you to chant around, approximately? When you're fixed 7, when it's not, it's between 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. That means if you're tired or something like that. And why do you chant? To please Prabhupada? Okay. Nice, very nice. We're not judging what you said. This is one of the ladies can come forward and offer their. Well, if you want to.
My name is always chant 16 rounds.
finish the next day. Mm-hmm. So it's either one. Breakfast. Mm-hmm. Sessions. So if you finish eight, you'll finish eight again. So you're just honoring the gift? Okay. Okay, if you're given by the spiritual master, that's a little different. Day. Because you're too busy with so many other things. Okay. And why do you chant?
I chant to connect to Krishna. And I chant because I don't always have I don't think I have a really good taste, especially with japa. But I really increase that chanting is really what I see. So I want to
build your faith. By chanting, you feel like your faith will increase more and more, and then the chanting will be more natural. That's nice. And how many minutes? You don't count. Ten? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The speed is conducive to hearing. So as we hear nicely, generally the speed is more increased like that. And if you listen to Srila Prabhupada's japa tape, you'll see at the beginning, he always very methodically and very carefully is sounding it very slowly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. And then he just keeps going, then he gets faster and faster and faster. So that's more or less an instruction that one should connect with the sound. Like that. And then as you connect with the sound, it becomes the speed more or less increases automatically like that. But stay with the sound. Don't think of the speed. Think of the sound. Okay. Thank you for volunteering that. Some people just get frightened when I ask for a volunteer. They turn different colors. Oh no, I'm going to be exposed. But yeah. But one of the reasons why people say that we should, the ideal reason for chanting is to please Krishna. But, and that is, of course, the mood of whatever we do, to please the Lord, please the Lord's devotees. But one of the reasons why I chant is to associate with Krishna. I feel like this is the way to associate with Krishna. This is the way to become Krishna conscious. This is the way to keep my connection with everything through associating with Krishna. So it's very difficult to associate with the Lord, but here's the way. I just wanted to add that as a personal note. So these things, you can keep these questions, and then as you practice your chanting more and more, you can see how you can maybe adjust and improve, you know, these things. One of the things that I think is the most important part to improving is is getting as many rounds finished without in the mood of being in a hurry before breakfast. Mm-hmm. I think that's important. It's a foundation for the rest of the day. It makes the rest of the day more, what we say, easily manageable. The holy name more or less directs us throughout the day when we make the holy name first in the morning, like that. And like Ananta Prabhu said last night when I came in, you're giving class tomorrow, aren't you, Maharaj? Yeah. Yeah, he said it in a very nice way. And I said, well, I have a class at 11 o'clock too. He said, that's okay. And he said, you can speak about the holy name. And I said, oh my God, how can I refuse?